Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We were virtual last week, but we got to at least praise the Lord. So here we are, and we're here to praise the Lord again today. Woohoo! So glad to see smiley faces. So first of all, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. Encourage you to get on and just pray for each other. It's so important to keep praying for each other, so I encourage you to, and if you can't get on Zoom, there's a telephone number you can call, and you can still be with us. So we won't see your smiley face, but we can hear you. Also, there's gleaners on Wednesdays. They open it at 11 o'clock for the food, so try and be here before by 10:55. And also, if you know somebody in need of having some help getting food or something, be sure and we can call Sherry or you can call Helen. So those two are okay. All righty. And but she'd work out something. She would. Don't forget Dan Kroom, Celebration of Life is this coming Saturday, March 11th, and it's at 1 o'clock. So then we're going to have fellowship in the fellowship hall after this. The Celebration of Life, so I encourage you to come and praise the life of Dan Kroom. He was such an eyewitness, such a witness for us. Loved him, so. And next Sunday is potluck. And while we're eating potluck, I'm going to throw out a few things because I just want to keep everybody informed, but I also have a couple of questions that you guys just need to help me with. So I encourage you to stay for potluck, and also we'll just have a little discussion while we're sitting around. And men's retreat is the 24th to the 26th down at Rockaway, so if anybody is interested, be sure and see Bill. Be a great time for him, I'm sure. It's a beautiful place. Great to meet God there. And the women, we have the Spring Connection, and it's at the Aloha Church of God, so it's a close place. And we're trying to go there. It's April 21st and 22nd, so hopefully we can. Okay, Donna said there's registration forms on the table back there. If you're interested in going, be sure and grab a registration. It's always fun, and I can't think of her name, but the speaker. Teresa. That was it. Holstrom. Teresa Holstrom. She's Paula Wilson's daughter. It's going to be the main speaker, so should be a good time. And I think that is it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are so thankful for this place. We can come and just worship you and praise your name. Father God, I just pray for each person here, Lord. Just give them the peace that only you can give them. And Lord, just open our hearts to just pay attention to the songs, pay attention to Pastor Teresa, and just feed us, Lord. Feed our hearts. Let us just forget everything on the outside and just worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we have this time that we can come together. We pray for the fellowship afterwards. We just praise you, Lord. We pray for those that aren't here today. We just lift them up also that they may be online and just worship you also. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's stand. We have the call to worship. And today it's Joshua 1:9.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
What a thing to hold on to. We're studying this week, and Bible Study Fellowship is on suffering and that, and how we need that to remember that God is with us all the time. That's a great verse to remember. Mm-hmm. It's been feeding me all week.
Good.
All right, so we have to remember Rhonda is sick.
Oh.
So she isn't here, and so we're going to sing a cappella. So everybody, it's easy songs. Everybody sing loud. The first one is Come Into His Presence.
Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. Come into your presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voices raise. Give glory and honor and power unto him. Jesus, the name above all names. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voices raise. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names.
All right. This one's a great one, too. Power in the blood. We can all sing this in good loud, right?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your angel a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's a good one.
Love that song. All right, more about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase. More of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Amen. We all bow down.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for he is a love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. Summer and winter, mountains and rivers, whisper our Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever his love will reign. And we all bow down. Kings will surrender their crown. He is the love of God. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. May the Lord bless each and every one of you today. Thank you. Now it's our chance to give back. And for those of you that are with us virtually today, you can still go to Tithely and give there as well. There's a link on the webpage for that. But let us give back as He commands and just wait and see the blessings that return. Father, Lord, thank you for the finances you give us, the money you entrust us with, to pay bills, but to invest in people. Lord, help us humbly and always be ready to invest in your kingdom as you commanded, and not even worry about where our next meal will come from, our next warm bed, because Lord, you love us even more than the birds of the field, even more than the fish in the sea, more than anything else in creation. So we trust you and give as you have laid it on our hearts. I told Teresa when I sat down and I saw Debbie queuing something up on the back TV, I was like, I was almost ready to sing a solo for you off her offertory there. It would have been one of my kids' four favorites at bedtime. It would have been It Is Well, How Great Thou Art, Because He Lives, Amazing Grace, or, well, there's one more. But anyway. So, some Sunday. But there he goes. He's already going. Landon did a slightly abnormal mood this morning, but that's okay. We love them. Actually, Landon could probably come up and do a duet with me for a couple of those. So, anyway, let us have our most treasured time together. Sharing of praises and prayer requests. And I know when I finally got a chance to catch up on the prayer chat this week, there was a lot going on there with Linda and with Josh and some other needs. I remember Linda and Josh were having needs expressed on there. So let us share together if anybody has a request or a praise to share. Right. So praise prayer request all in one. Praise that it's not COVID, but prayer request for Rhonda and her dad, both sick with a cold, and getting that taken care of. I think Rhonda's back to helping out her dad primarily now, right? She had a break in. Okay. I knew her brother was going to be here for about a month. I didn't know if that was February or whatever, but that's a praise. We'll lift that up for Rhonda. That's a praise. So, yeah. Anybody else? Prayer request or praise to share? Yeah. We want Josh around. We want him in eternity with us. We know he's already there, yet he's here. So stick around. Yep. Yep. So prayer for Josh Culber and test results to come back. And I remember that was in the prayer chat. Yeah, that's usually how they are. Yep. So, Judy. So Judy is lifting up her son, Leo, who had been scanned and tested cancer-free, but is now going back in for another checkup to make sure that he still is. Yeah, 3 month, 6 month checkup, whatever it is. Those of you who've had friends go through cancer know you gotta keep checking to make sure it doesn't come back. So prayer that is a positive outcome. Bill. So continued prayer for Dan Kroom's family that has been left behind, but not forever. Prayer for Becky and the family to be comforted still. And prayer for a great celebration this Saturday. It's a homecoming. It's a homecoming. And I'll miss his gentle spirit, but only for a while. Did you have another one, Bill? Bill is reminding us about the conflict in Ukraine. He has some coworkers that have family there that are either involved or affected by the war going on there. So he told his coworkers he asked to lift them up in prayer, and so we do. Prayer for those family members in Ukraine. And the Russians too. Yeah. And this creation. No Jesus, and you know peace. when there is no Jesus? There ain't no peace. Judy. Yes. So we're going to lift up our senior pastor, Teresa, for safe travels to Jordan and back, and a profitable, enjoyable trip. Josh. So Josh is lifting up his brother Zach, and he's found out, Zach has figured out his travel itinerary for the year at his job and wants him to be safe traveling and have the energy to get through it all. And we'll pray for his wife Robin to help him get through it all and to not be too lonely when he's gone. Yeah. Anybody else? Carolyn. So Carolyn is asking for the Spirit's help to do children's church today. And I know the Spirit will provide. I turned out okay. Just okay. With Jesus, I'm better. That's the way it is. Sarah. So Sarah's lifting up a prayer request we have in common for our daughter and their dance team to have safe travels down to Eugene, a good competition. And I think we should also pray probably for Sarah's husband, who's going to be home with two boys. No, I'm just kidding. Probably pray for the kids. They're going to be home with just their dad. We promised to only do Pizza Hut one time. So... yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend for Sarah and I and our family. So prayer we get through it. We will. I mean, you've all been there. So, yep. Yeah, Dawson's got airsoft at Camp R&R and all kinds of stuff going on this weekend. So, yeah. Never a dull moment. Anybody remember that season with their kids? Never a dull moment. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else have something to share? I'll lift up my father-in-law, and we're going through trying to get him qualified for disability now too, and there's a lot to go with that, and a lot on my plate. Since I'm the one that's helped manage his health care the last 4 or 5 years, I'm the one that just has the answers and not enough time to answer 500 questions that need to be answered. So please help me find time, Lord, to do what needs to be done. Anybody else? For the men's retreat coming up, absolutely, the 24th through the 26th of March. right at the beginning of spring break. I am looking forward to spring break and men's retreat. Absolutely. Anyone else? All right, let's go together as a family. Thank you, Lord, for being God Almighty. This is the foundation upon everything that rests, is you being God in our lives. Our steadfast, immovable, solid foundation, rock upon which we all stand. Thank you, God, for being who you are. And forgive us, Lord, for this week where we have fallen short of who you are in our lives. We know that you forgive us. All we have to do is ask. So when we missed a spiritual appointment you brought our way, or we were stubborn and didn't do it, or we did not take that moment to close our eyes or be on our knees before you as we should, Lord, when we had to miss out on other things in the church because life was so busy, just, Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation in who you are, with the peace that comes knowing that you always forgive us, always love us, always want the best for us, and you're always cheering us on. Lord, there are many things to be thankful for. Jobs, cars, friends, neighbors, homes, this house of worship, each other, family. Thank you, Lord, for this nation to live in, which seems so chaotic, but still provides so much freedom to acknowledge and worship you. Thank you, Lord, for each other and that we can be church family together beyond our own families. Thank you for those, Lord, that you are to add to this family that we don't know of yet. Help us remember to be open to divine appointments of discussion with them. Open our hearts for them. Lord God, we just ask for so many needs in our body today, Lord, for Linda's mom, for Josh and test results, Father God, for Dan Kroom and his family. Not that we're praying for Dan, we know his destination, but Lord, that this Saturday would be a homecoming celebration, that all in his family and all in this community who know him would know his heart was yours. And Lord, if there's anyone coming this Saturday who needs to know you, Spirit, knock on the door of their heart. And Lord, give us the right words to bring them into the family. Lord God, we continue to lift up many other needs. Sarah's former co-worker and Debbie's boss and so many other things that are present on our minds, Lord. We ask you to watch over each and every one of those situations. And Holy Spirit, guide doctors and bring about positive test results. Lord, for Josh's brother Zach and Robin and the busy year they're going to have with his job, Lord, we lift up them and their family and give them the energy to do it. And Lord, for all of the teachers in our congregation, Lord, we ask you give them strength to make it through the toughest part of the year. And Lord, for all of us at our jobs, give us the strength to do them well, do them unto you, and use words to witness to our coworkers if we need to at the same time. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. And now, Lord, we ask you give wisdom to those in positions of leadership over us. You call us to do this, whether we agree or disagree with who they are, their policies, or anything else. You call us to pray for them. Lord, give them health, give them wisdom, give them insight, and give them a nudge from your Holy Spirit to make the choices that support all. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Any kiddos in the house? Come on, Landon, come on. Ooh. And then go to church. Okay, we're going to do a clap. Are you ready? Okay, are you ready? All right. If you love Jesus, my Savior, clap your hands. If you love Jesus, my Savior, clap your hands. If you like to see Jesus, pray. Oh, there we go. Yep. And if you wish that the whole world knew him, your voices up to him and clap your hands. If you love Jesus,
my Savior,
stomp your feet. Well, if you love Jesus,
my Savior, stomp your feet.
If you like singing praises to him, and if you wish that the whole world knew him, if your voice is up to him, stomp your feet. If you love Jesus,
my Savior, clap your hands.
If you love Jesus,
my Savior,
stomp your feet. If you would sing praises to him, and you wish that the whole world knew him, your voice is up to him, clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Good job. Way to go. All right, let's say a prayer. And then Landon, Dawson just said, what if we stomp our hands and clap our feet? I think he would love it just as much.
I can't do it.
Father, Lord, thank you for these children that you have given to your church family here, Lord, and the promise of a future and a hope that they bring. Please continue to guide their steps every day. Put their guardian angels over them when we can't be there. Always, always keep your spirit knocking on their hearts that they might always know your love and peace. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to sit down.
Good morning. Bless the Lord today. It is, for those of you who are unaware, it's the second Sunday of Lent. And on the second Sunday of Lent, it's usually reserved for retelling the account of when Jesus took his closest disciples up a hill and revealed himself on a deeper level. And so we have a short video made for kids, but it's also helpful for us adults. So let's watch it. Thank you, Sister Debbie.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah. who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen.
Yes, I like that response. Whoa. Yeah. That is a fascinating story. And it's curious as to why do we remind ourselves of that story during the Lenten season. But I believe there's specific reasons why we do that. The account of Jesus' changing appearance may be a challenge to understand. And so that's why we've got to take a look at the broader context and glean the lessons that are to be learned from this. So this story doesn't seem out of place. Like, why this particular story for this particular day? So I'll read a bit more of the preceding chapter to really get an understanding of what happens when Jesus, his appearance changes right in front of his disciples. You have to go back to the previous chapter. So in Matthew 16, I'll read from there, starting around 21, and then we'll read a few of the following verses. This is just after Peter declares Jesus is the Son of God. So if you remember that story, the disciples have been out doing things, and they come back, and Jesus says, "So you've been out there with the people. Who do people say that I am?" And then, you know, they go along with the things that people are saying. And he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And then Jesus declares, "Well, you are the Son of God." And so Jesus says, "Yes, and only the Spirit of God could have revealed that to you." And so then Jesus shares with the disciples at that point that he is going to have to suffer the death of the cross. So verse 21 says from chapter 16, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead." Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid," he said, "this will never happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God." So then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." Listen to this verse. This is verse 28. "And I tell you the truth," Jesus is saying, "some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, this is a curious thing for Jesus to be saying. I know. Deacon Judy just gave me the look like, "Wait, what in the world? Do we have disciples that are 2,000 years old? What?" Because if you read that scripture, it kind of makes you think that, right? There's a lot of people, actually, conspiracy theorists, who have said, yes, there's certain disciples who are living among us because Jesus hasn't returned yet. And so they're 2,000 plus years old. That's not what that scripture means. Just saying. That's actually not it. But they can have their conspiracy theories. But that's actually not the meaning of that verse. But if that's not the meaning, then what is Jesus saying to them? First of all, you know, you're supposed to be the Messiah. You just explained that you've done all these miracles, you've done all these good things, and now you're saying you're going to die? What? And then this mystery about some of us being alive? What? So Jesus reveals again, he really is the Messiah. And yes, he's going to have to die. Plus, he adds, anyone who follows him must be ready to suffer and carry their cross daily. So I'm thinking most of the disciples were like, yeah, yeah. And then when he said, carry your cross daily, they were like, what now? What's what? That's not in the script. I thought you were supposed to come and avenge us and be king. What's the suffering stuff? And this is why Peter rebukes him. Like, wait, what? No, no, that's not a part of the script. You are supposed to be the savior, and we all get to be here and enjoy your kingdom. And Jesus is like, yes, but not right now. I have a different purpose right now. So this is why Peter protests out loud. And the others, I think the other disciples, because, you know, Peter's the vocal one. He's saying what everybody else is thinking, right? No way, Jesus. You just got here, and since you're the Messiah, you shouldn't have to suffer. And Jesus corrects all of their thinking, and then he promises that those who believe will see him in his glory. There is a day of judgment coming, but today is not that day, Jesus has to teach them. It's not today. And then again, we have that curious phrase, some of you standing in my presence right now, are going to see the Son of Man coming before you even die. So, Linda Baxter, are there a couple of disciples that are 2,000 plus years old? Well, I don't think so. Linda's looking, going, yeah, I mean, maybe. But I think we're going to, yeah, with all, with God, all things are possible. This is true. But I don't believe there are 2,000 plus years. The meaning of seeing the Son coming in his kingdom is revealed when you get to this account, when he's got the three going up on the mountain with him. That's where they see Jesus in his glory being revealed. So, and that's where we pick up in today's passage, chapter 17. So I'll be reading from chapter 17, from the Message translation. Follow along, whichever translation you prefer. So let's look at today's text. So I gave you the previous, right? He tells the disciples, hey, I'm going to die, but don't fret because I'm going to be raised again. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to follow me, you need to pick up your cross and die daily. So here it is, 6 days later, almost a week later, three of them saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before their eyes. Sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with light. And then they realized that Moses and Elijah were also there in deep conversation with him. And then Peter broke in, always, as he usually does, Master, this is a great moment. What would you think if I built three memorials here on the mountain, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah? And when he was going on like this, babbling, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. And sounding from deep in the cloud, a voice. This is my son, marked by my love, focus of my delight. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell flat on their faces, scared to death. But Jesus came over and he touched them. "Don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes and looked around, all they saw was Jesus, only Jesus. And then coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. "Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you are free to talk." Wow. So we have one incident just a week before where Jesus is speaking in mysteries. And then a week later, he takes three, reveals to them on another level who he is, but then says, "Shh, don't tell anyone, Sister Susie, until later." Now, yeah, I don't know if I could have kept that secret, but, you know, that's a different story. What a spectacular story. And I don't know if I would have been afraid or excited to see Moses and Elijah. I mean, that's kind of cool. So, yeah, I don't know what my feelings would have been seeing that, witnessing that. And then Jesus changing in front of my eyes. Like, it's not video. There's no magic tricks. He's actually changing right in front of their eyes. Being in awe, like, whoa, what is happening right now? Yeah, so this is a good question. Thank you, Sister Susie. Susie's like, "Now, how did they know it was Elijah?" And because you didn't have pictures back then. Now, I could probably find pictures of my great-great-grandparents, you know, somewhere out in the universe. But Moses and Elijah, they existed before pictures. So how did they know? So I think they knew because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed who those two people were standing next to Jesus. Just as Jesus was being revealed to them in a new way, because, you know, you have to remember, the disciples are walking around with Jesus. They're still learning, like, are you really the Messiah? He's doing these miracles. It's cool stuff. He's teaching them things. But they still don't quite get it all. They don't understand, Sister Vicky, completely. And so this is why he has the three up on the mountain to show them. Like, "Peter, remember what you said last week about me being the Savior? This is it." And so as God is revealing Jesus in that way, when they see Moses and Elijah, they go, "It is Jesus. He is the Messiah." Because they completely understand who those two men are. And I know the next question is, yeah, but now, why is it Moses and Elijah again? What is that about? It's because they represent the law. They represent the prophets, the word of God, come to life in front of them. So if you're a Jewish person, you know Moses gave us the law and the prophets gave us a way to live out that law. The prophets told them about how to show up and act right. And what happens when we don't act right, when we don't follow God's teachings. So that's why. They knew, even though they didn't have digital pictures in their phone, in their cell phones, to look and go, "Oh, hey, that's Moses." They didn't have internet to look that up, right? It was the Holy Spirit who revealed. It was the Holy Spirit who revealed. And clearly, it was an overwhelming experience for the disciples, because once that cloud appears and they hear the voice, they hit the deck. They drop down to the ground to hide their faces. And Jesus reassures them that everything is okay. And then they walk back down to join the others as if nothing spectacular has transpired. In fact, Jesus tells them that mum's the word, right? Not to tell the others what they witness until the appropriate day and time. So now, again, you may wonder why Jesus would instruct them to keep a lid on the miracle that just happened. Now, on most occasions, when miracles took place, people went and told others how Jesus had changed their life. I mean, all over the scripture. But this is one of the times. There are a few times, though, where Jesus is like, and this is one of those times. He needed people to see who he was, that God really sent him. There were certain places and times where he just needed to reveal himself and not have it broadcasted. And this is one of those rare times. But you can recall some of the other miracles that Jesus performed, and it was for everybody to know. I have just a short list. Remember the woman at the well? He tells her about her life, her lifestyle, what's going on in her life at the moment, teaches her about God, which mountain should you worship on? He goes, the mountain ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Let me tell you about God. And then she turns around and goes and tells the whole entire village. So everybody gets to know. And then remember the shepherds we read not too long ago, when the night that Jesus was born, they worship him. They get to go see him physically. And when they find him, they worship him. And then on their way back to their fields, anybody they came across, they told every single person they met and ran into. And I'm sure the next day they kept telling the story. So everybody knew the good news. And then there's the lepers. Remember there was a group of lepers that Jesus healed, and they were required to go to the priest. So they had to tell at least the priest. But of course they're going to go and tell all their families and their friends, being welcomed back into their community. They're going to say, wait, you don't have leprosy anymore. What happened? Jesus. Right? So everyone's getting the buzz about who this Jesus is. The blind man who tells the religious leaders, because they ask him, now, what happened to you? Aren't you so-and-so who's been blind since birth? Now, how come all of a sudden you can see? Who did this to you? I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And everyone around is astonished because they remember, I went to school with him. He was blind. What? He's walking around without a stick right now. What? What is happening? All he could say was, that man, that good man, healed me. And then one more. Jesus performed many miracles publicly so that believers' faith could be renewed, right? Because lots of people believed in the Messiah was to come. But over time, they were wondering, is God really going to send the Messiah? Because I remember my grandma saying that the Messiah was coming. And I think her grandma and her grandma before her told her that the Messiah was coming. And yet here we are. The Messiah's still not here. So Jesus performs these miracles to say, God is faithful. It may take him a long time, but he's faithful. And here is the Messiah right in your midst. So him performing miracles helps create in believers, those who are already expecting the Messiah, to rejuvenate their belief and say, oh yes, God is faithful and we still can believe because he's a good God. And then those who are, I don't know about this Jewish God, they go to that thing on Sundays. What is that foolishness that they're doing? They're just worshiping a God like I worship my God. But once they got to see Jesus and experience a miracle, hear him preach, then they began to believe. So this is why some of his miracles were so public and out there for everybody. But on this occasion, he wants them to keep quiet. Why keep quiet about seeing Moses and Elijah? Jesus did this to follow up the conversation he had with the larger group of disciples 6 days prior, remember, just a week ago. God revealed to Peter in his heart who Jesus was. And then Jesus explained how even though he was the Messiah, he had to suffer and die. And I believe that Jesus had the three witnesses, Peter, John, and his brother, right? They go and see Jesus transfigured because he wanted to encourage them, his own disciples. Keep believing. You are about to come across some really hard times, but don't forget what you are witnessing right here, right now. which is the divine revelation that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah. Don't forget that. So he is encouraging his disciples to keep believing. They didn't fully understand why Jesus kept saying that he had to die. And again, he topped it off by saying that they too would suffer and that they had to sacrifice their will to God's will every single day if they were going to continue following him. So Jesus knew the day was quickly approaching when he was going to have to sacrifice his life. He knew his disciples didn't understand that they were going to get discouraged as soon as they saw him buried. He knew what that would do to them. So he's trying to give them some hope. They could remember this one lesson once they see him die and put into that grave. Jesus wanted Peter, James, and John to know that they were not alone. And that just as they saw him with Moses and Elijah, just as they heard God's voice again, that he would rise from the grave. Jesus is planting the seed so they will remember what they saw and not give up when the dark days arrive. What they witnessed would stay in their hearts and help them believe Jesus. So it's interesting to me that God doesn't let the experience end with Moses and Elijah, right? Because it could have just been enough to transform Jesus right in front of them so that he really is in his glory. He's shining. He's literally shining. His clothes, his hair, his eyes, everything is aglow. Yeah, his face, right? And then Moses and Elijah there. You know, and again, we've talked about this before. They represent the law and the prophets, the portions of the Holy Scripture that teach people of God how they should show up in the world, rightly reflecting the Creator. So he could have just ended it there. Okay, so then Jesus goes back to looking normal. Moses and Elijah disappear. Okay, let's go back down. We're ready to face the rest of the world. But God didn't do that. He kept it going. The three stand in amazement. Because once again, they are witnessing for themselves God's approval and a verification of who Jesus really is. So Peter's essentially saying, whoa, if the law and the prophets are here, then surely you are the Son of God. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the word. He is the living word. This is a wonderful example of how he is the living word. He's got the witness of the law. He's got the witness of the prophets to say he is the living word. And so this is why Peter offers to build monuments so that anyone else who ventures up that hill will know that the Messiah stood there with two biblical witnesses. This is the day when the Messiah stood here with the law and the prophets. And remember, that's what Jewish people did. And when they wanted to remind themselves of what God, their deliverer, had done, they would make monuments, just like we do now, right? We want to remember those things. And so that's why Peter offers that. We want people to know. But God interrupts Peter's thought. He interrupts that suggestion by making an appearance himself. God literally shows up. That's probably, Sister Judy, where I would hit the deck too. I probably would have done it, like the disciples. He shows up in a cloud. Now, any good Jewish person knows that the God of Israel showed up in a cloud for his people and led them when they were getting out of Egypt. Remember? He demonstrated his literal presence with his people in the form of a cloud by day. Remember the scripture? And then a ball of fire by night. Yes. Exodus chapter 13. Go and read that there. So God literally showed up. And the three get to see the two witnesses plus experience God's presence. And then on top of that, hearing God's voice like they did the day that Jesus was baptized. Remember, there was a voice, even then, saying, "Hey, this is my son in whom I am well pleased." So God does it again. Because, you know, you wonder, right? Like, why does he have to keep telling these people that? Because it takes us a while to learn things, okay? Most of us don't just learn in one round. It takes multiple rounds to learn. And so that's why he has to keep repeating himself. Because we're all smart people. And so we think when we're reading it, like, oh my God, they're so dumb. He told them that was going to happen. Well, yeah, he also told you several things were going to happen. But you still don't believe him, right? You're still like, well, Jesus, like, what's taking so long? I've been praying this one prayer. Okay, well, did you read the rest of the, did you read my book? Did you read anything about me? Do you know anything about me? I'm still at work, even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it doesn't look like it, even though it may not seem like it. So we too are like the disciples. This is why he gives us these accounts. This is why we get to know who Jesus is, because we can step back and reflect, oh, how does that apply to my life? Jesus is showing them the law and the prophets. He has fulfilled that. God is actually there speaking to them that Jesus is the Messiah. Whoa. God tells them to listen to Jesus. This is really what I like about the account. God is like, yes, this is my son. Listen to him. Wow. Why would God say that? Well, again, there's a couple of things that we need to learn from Jesus. We need to listen to what he's saying. Now, in the Message, it doesn't actually use the word rise up. When you read it in other translations, he tells them to not just be afraid, but he tells them to get up. Don't be afraid. So God says, listen to Jesus. Don't worry about making the monuments, Peter. Listen to what he is saying. And so then you have to stop and look back at the text. Well, what did Jesus say? He just brought them up there on the mountain and then he changed. Ah, but he did say some things to them. There's two things that I think we should take away from this text. First, he says to them, get up. And the second is, don't be afraid. Very wise things that he's planting into the hearts of his disciples. The disciples hit the ground, hiding their faces when they saw God's cloud and they heard his voice. The phrase for get up is really better translated as be raised up, or even be aroused from the sleep of death, and be resurrected is actually, if you look at the real word and how it's used in the rest of Matthew itself, but also in other places in the Bible, that's what it means. It's not just a, okay, get up off the ground. It's a be resurrected. So it's very fascinating what Jesus says to them. So I'll give you some places, because this is how Matthew uses that phrase, that get up, that rise up. Listen to what he uses in Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus heals the paralytic, you remember, he says to him, stand up, get up. It's really a be resurrected and get up. So that's in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus takes the hand of the dead daughter of the synagogue leader. Remember, Messiah, please. They call him Messiah, they call him Rabbi. Rabbi, please come. My daughter has died. And he takes her hand and says, oh, daughter, rise up. It is wake from your sleep of death is really what he's saying there. And that's in Matthew chapter 9. Again, in the list of the miracles that Jesus does. And then also Matthew chapter 10, Jesus actually tells his disciples, raise the dead. Resurrect the dead. So you may not realize this, but Jesus actually teaches his disciples to go out and do miracles. They're not just preaching the word of God, saying, repent, prepare ye the way, the same sermon that John the Baptist spoke. They actually performed miracles. And remember, there's this one time when they get upset, they're like, Jesus, those other people are out there. They're preaching in your name and they're doing miracles. And he's like, right, because they believe in me. And they were like, well, wait, but we're your disciples. Yeah, and they are too. They're going out and doing the things that God has called them to do. So he's actually teaching them to go raise people from the dead, perform the miracles so that others can believe. That's in Matthew chapter 10. And this is in several places. Matthew 16, Matthew 17, chapter 20, chapter 26. Jesus, again, because he's telling them over and again that he is going to be resurrected. And it's that same phrase, that rise up, that come out of death, from that sleep of death, to actually be resurrected. So Jesus is saying to them, be raised from the dead life you are now living. He allows them to see a portion of his glory so they can understand his purpose and his mission, not to take rule and become king right here, right now, but to save people, to seek that which is lost, to die a very painful death. But to not stay dead, to rise up, get up, come from your sleep of death. Furthermore, he teaches them, you too will suffer, you too will die, but you too will rise again. The second thing he says to them is, don't be afraid. Because they're like down there hiding their faces and he touches them. No. Rise up. Don't be afraid. Jesus knew the thought of losing him created great anxiety in his disciples. You know, not only did they fully understand, but as Peter had already done, no, Jesus, that can't happen to you. Their minds were spinning, trying to grasp why he had to leave them when they were just getting to know him deeply. And were learning to perform miracles as he taught them. But Jesus is modeling that though the future is uncertain, they can trust that they will not be alone. Somebody say amen. Just as God showed up and declared who Jesus was, he would show up and empower them to carry on the ministry. So don't be afraid. I know there are some dark days that lie ahead, but you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus forbids them to share what they witnessed because he knew the hearts of the others. They were looking for him to set up the kingdom right here, right now, to reign and to get rid of all the people that have ever done them bad. But he had to reveal to Peter, to James, and to John, wait. Wait until after I am resurrected. And then tell that story. Why? Because the others would better understand and go, that's what he meant. I get it now. And though they were fearful, they could still go and share the gospel and teach others about the Messiah because they would fully understand. So this is the lesson that God has for us today. Rise up. From the dead life you're living, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Don't be afraid of anything. The unknown, the devil himself, other people, what's happening in the world. None of that. You don't have to be afraid of any of that. Why? Because you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us to give us power to show the world who God is, to remind us that we belong to God just as Jesus belongs to him. Remember, he said, this is my son. God is with us right here, right now, to say the very same thing. This is my daughter. This is my son. I am with you. Go and do, go and be who I have created you to be. We belong to God. And we will see Jesus, the Son of Man, coming in his glory one day. Even if we do pass, and he doesn't come by the end of this week, he's still coming. And if we go on to glory like Brother Dan, we'll still see him coming in his glory. Because all of us will be caught up to meet him that glorious day. And he will take us to live in eternity with him forever. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You give us so many different stories, so many accounts of what the disciples experienced when Jesus was here on earth. And we look back sometimes and we chuckle like, oh my goodness, they're so silly. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't they understand? And yet the lesson is still there for us. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we forget all of the promises that you have given us. Even the promise of the Holy Spirit that lives in us to empower us so that we don't need to be afraid. So I pray, God, that you would help us to remember that, to rise up, come out of our dead lives, and live for you. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's have a closing song and then our benediction.
So we're going to stand and we're going to sing, Lead Me to Calvary.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Amen. Thank God for such beautiful lyrics to our songs, right? Just to remind us of who he is and who we are because of Jesus the Christ. So my prayer for us is that that word rings true, that we rise up and that we not be afraid. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the ability to come together, to gather, to worship and praise you, to hear your holy word. I pray now again that you would spark the flame in each of our hearts and in our minds and in our souls, that we rise up. Rise up from our life of death and doom. Rise up with victory in you. Remind us not to be afraid of anything that comes our way because you are right next to us. You are going before us. You are right behind us. You are on the sides of us, all for your glory, so that others can see and know who you are. Thank you, God, for this ministry. We bless your holy name. Be with my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in faith. Go with them, Lord God, until we meet again. We thank you. Amen and amen. Until next time, peace be with you.